Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Well, I guess you can't really say that back to me. I'm not a mother. But I have a mother, and she's great. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Caleb Conrad. Welcome to the Launch Contemporary Service. Today we have a really special treat for you to kick off our service. We have the Joy Choir here, which I don't know why we all don't count down like they do. Every day, you know, there needs to be some of that. So anyway, a few quick announcements that we'll put on the screen a little later is that Vacation Bible School is coming up, and we also have some special dates coming up. Pastor Mary's last Sunday is June 9th. Pastor Doug's last Sunday is the 23rd of June, and that just means we're going to combine the two later services. So Pastor Mary's last Sunday will be in the sanctuary. Doug's last Sunday will be in here. All that information is in your bulletin. There's the VBS slide. It's also in your bulletin. If you have any questions, ask Laura Stinnett. She's all about VBS now. And one service on Memorial Day. So that's kind of, I knew I threw that all at you. But now, probably one of my favorite things is to listen to the Joy Choir. So please welcome Mary Noble and the Joy Choir. Thank you, Joy Choir. So before we start worship today, we're going to play a video for all the mothers. That video is so powerful to me, as not only my mom has been that for me, but so many other women in my life. I feel like I have dozens of moms that have made me who I am and guided me along. And love the visual of Mary there. At the cross. So we want to honor mothers today. We want to honor women. We want to honor the nurturing spirit and all that you do for this church and all the individuals in this church. And the songs that the launch band and I are going to do today are all about love. And it's about the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, but it's very similar to the love that mothers give to their kids. So please stand and greet one another, and we will worship together. Your love awakens me. There were walls between us. By the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive. Put your hands together. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Feel the darkness shake. Feel the darkness shaking, all the dead are coming. Your love is greater. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger, God. Your love awakens. To the Lord this morning. This next one is King of My Heart. We've done this one before. Talks about everything God is to us. He's our protector, he's our comforter, he's our role model. I mean, Jesus is, we strive to be him. We can never be him. We'll always fall short, but this is how he guides me and how my mom guides me. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, if you don't know it, you can sing this. Just sing it out. You are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, just give him praise. Tell him. You are good. You're good. Oh, you are. You're good. Oh, let
the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song, and let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. Sing that again. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. And let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. That's our prayer this morning. Say it. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Proclaim that this morning. Oh, you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. The fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. This time we're going to ask the children to come forward for a special children's moment. And as they do, beautiful Miss Linda Southern is going to play a little tune.
I'm so glad to see you all this morning. You know what day it is? Mother's Day. That's right. Why don't you tell me some of the things that you did for Mother's Day? Can you think of one thing that you've done special for your moms today? Anybody?
My mom got me a present.
Okay. Mom got me a present. Okay.
I gave her a candle holder.
Okay, a candle holder. Lovely. You all made those in the Sunday school. Do what?
He's just being silly.
Okay. He's being silly for Mom for Mom's Day. Okay, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. We love that. I'm on my way after church to go see my 4-year-old granddaughter to have her birthday and to see my children, because it wouldn't be Mother's Day if I didn't get to see my grown children. We do Mother's Day. We honor our mothers because they give us life. They take care of us. They are good to us. And they teach us, right?
Yep.
And this is also a day that we call the Festival of the Christian Home. And that just is a big phrase to mean that in our homes, we do what we can to show that we belong to Christ by praying before we have a meal, by obeying and loving one another and obeying our parents when they tell us to do something, because they're always looking out for our best interest. They want to make sure we're safe. So this is just a very, very special day in the life of the church, that we celebrate Christ in our homes and we celebrate our mothers. And I celebrate you, because guess what? Without you, we wouldn't be moms. Okay, let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our children that so often we try to teach them, but really in life they just teach us over and over so many special, special things. So God, bless all the homes that are represented here today, and bless those that were not able to be here today. May they feel Christ and experience Christ, not only in their home, but in everything they say and they do in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
My mom and I are a lot alike, so we fight a lot, right? We're very similar. Sometimes I do stupid stuff that my parents told me not to do because they had done it and it didn't work out for them. And kids don't seem to listen, right, until they make the mistakes themselves. She says I spend too much money. Every time I call her, it always ends with, "All right, be safe, don't spend money, bye." But her love is unconditional, right? No matter what I do. And I would even say it's reckless. So please stand with us and sing Reckless Love. Before I spoke a word.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. These are 99, and I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God,
your foe, still your love fought for me.
When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. Oh God, you have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Will you give yourself away? Oh. shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
There's no wall.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No, no. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's nothing we can do, he's still there. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing that one more time. Oh. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't.
Time, I thought it would be an appropriate thing to do to remember all women on this Mother's Day, as Caleb has already reminded us to do. Join with me as I lead us in this litany, and you'll see your responses in bold. For our mothers who give us life and love, that we may show them reverence and love.
We praise the Lord.
For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them.
We pray to the Lord.
For women, though without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us.
We pray to the Lord.
For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families.
We pray to the Lord.
Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And of course, as you have had a chance to look through your bulletin before we go to God in prayer, let's lift up these persons in our hearts. Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, who is in hospice, Becky Flynn, Leon James, Kate Southern Bridges, and the family of Reverend David Moore, and all those whom we carry in our hearts, but perhaps their names are not listed. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, on this day in which we do remember our moms, who are either here with us walking this earth, or left us a brief time ago, or left us a long time ago, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the opportunity for each and every one of us to parent children in this world, to parent them through our love and example, to witness before them the love and grace of Jesus Christ, to be in awe and their questions as well as their answers, to recapture our childhood as we participate in theirs. To be a part of their lives is such an honor as well as a joy. May we always embrace our young people. Remember that we were young once, and that we will also be there for them no matter what stage of their lives. So God, on this day, we give you thanks. And we pray to you, Father, too, that we know that sometimes we didn't obey our parents. Sometimes we even talked back to them. We were not grateful at the time for them. It's funny how you've shaped time, Lord, that in retrospect, oh, they loom ever larger in our esteem. But God, we confess that we have also, you, our great Father, we have sinned against you. So we thank you for sending us your Son to cleanse us of our sin, that we might remember to confess our sin and to sin less and to love, oh, so much more. God, we pray for those that aren't able to be with their mothers today because they're serving and protecting us abroad. Be with them and protect them, Father. So we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, whom we honor today and whom we give thanks for the model of how to love. We pray this in his holy name as we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's always such a joy that when we come to this point in worship, that we can offer God a gift to say thank you, a gift of gratitude for all that he's given to us, a way to worship him more deeply. Let us pray. As gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the ability to give, for the energy to serve you, for the resources to share. So God, take this offering, we pray today, use them to make more disciples for Jesus Christ, that your kingdom may grow on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
One more mom anecdote. I saw a staggering stat the other day that something like 78% of Americans hate their jobs. And it like really took me back. My mom is a public school teacher. She does K through 5 resource. And it's not a job for her, it's her passion. That's something she sort of instilled in me. Just follow your passion, you know, it's not a job. And I got in my car today, coming here, and I was so excited to come worship with you all. So thankful to be at Asbury. So during this time, I think sometimes we get sort of in the job mode, right? We come here on Sunday and we sing songs and we listen to Pastor Mary or Pastor Doug and we go out. And, I'm not questioning your intentions, but during this time, we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And if you know it, just sing it out. You can sit there in prayer and worship, but just listen to these words and feel this, and I hope that it touches you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou summer and winter and springtime. joined with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, more. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercy. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you today ready to be filled with your word and your love, ready to be challenged by what we find in your word today, ready to reflect on who we are and how we can be more like you, God. God, help us know that every time, not only that we walk in these doors, but every time we're driving in the car, every time we're out with friends, every time we have a conversation on the phone, let us be praising you, God. The blessings that you have bestowed on us are plentiful, and we thank you. And God, we thank you for mothers today, the love that they have for their children. We thank you for women who may not have children of their own, but act like mothers to others. Thank you for their guidance and their unconditional love and their nurturing. God, be with us today. Be with Pastor Mary as she comes forward and delivers her message. Just allow your words to touch us today and help us go out and share your love with others. We pray this name. Pray this in your holy name. Amen.
So happy to share with you from the Word of God as we go to the Gospel of Mark, and we find the third chapter. Hear this Word of God from a particular time where Jesus was having a moment with his mother. Mark 3, 31 through 35. And his mother and his brothers came and stood outside, and they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting about him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around on those who sat about him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God for the people of God. So happy Mother's Day. And Grandmother's Day and on and on. So you may be thinking, well, that's an interesting passage to read on Mother's Day, because it seems like Jesus is not quite relating to his mother as you would hope he would. What is the meaning of this passage? I'm excited about exploring it with you. When Jesus began his ministry, more than likely his mother Mary knew what was going to happen. She knew that he was going to be so outspoken, so clear, because she knew him better than anyone else. She knew how he expressed himself and how he would be received. And she also knew, it seemed wherever he went, there were the crowds, always, always the crowds. So because she loved him, she gathered her family members, probably Jesus' brothers, and went to seek him in a house where she'd heard he was staying. She sent word into the house saying, "Tell him to come outside and come home with us again." You know, she did precisely what any mother would do when concerned for the welfare of their child, their safety, at any age. She did this because she had been out in the village. She'd heard talk on the streets. And perhaps she thought, if she just intervened now, maybe what she was concerned about the most, maybe it wouldn't happen. Then Jesus says something to his mother's request, which seems so harsh. It seems an utter rejection of his mother. "Who is my mother?" In our human arrogance, we interpret that almost to mean, who does she think she is? I mean, doesn't she know I've got this very important work to do for my Heavenly Father? Yet we know the heart of Jesus. We know he's as incapable of that attitude to his mother as he would be to anybody else. So I believe these words, and I offer this idea to you today, that this is more of a time of reflection than it is rejection. That Jesus said that purposefully for those in the room, that they might reflect on his meaning, and that you and I 2,000 years later would also reflect on the meaning of this time in Jesus' life. Because you are still kind when you are doing the work of God, aren't you? I mean, all of us are involved in all kinds of charitable work, all kinds of humanitarian efforts. And yet, what would all of that mean at all if we are trampling people in the process? If we are prioritizing that without offering the time of day to those whom we love the most? What would it mean? So, let's look at this. I believe, in effect, Jesus was saying to Mary, "Mother, as much as I'd like to, I just can't come home now. You see, I've got to do this work." Now, this next thing I might best describe as a coming to Jesus meeting. No pun intended. But in our household, that's what we call it. But I would say there was more like a meeting of the minds here of Jesus and Mary. Jesus could have said, "You know, I can't come now. Not just from what my Heavenly Father taught me, but Mother, what you've taught me, the values you've taught me, Mother, the values that I've watched you and Joseph teach me and live out every day. I've learned from thinking and laughing and crying and listening and praying." Mary may have thought, like a lot of us parents think at times, Well, maybe I've taught them too well. I mean, you know, there are times that we feel an urgent impulse and an urgent need to share the truth with our children. And when we do, sometimes we think maybe they learn more than we wanted them to. When we deal with truth, often the child learns far beyond our words. So Mary may have thought, I wanted him, and yet I also knew this about him. He was going to tackle the issues. But I just didn't want him to hurt. I just don't want my son to hurt. So Mary, loving her son, says, "Come home, son." And Jesus, loving his mother, says, "Mother, I just can't. I can't come home." And Mary finds herself in the same place that you and I find ourselves at points in our lives, on the outside, peering in, looking in, kind of wanting to take our sleeve and get the frost and the dimness off the glass so we can see a little clearer. When we reflect and evaluate ourselves, finding ourselves in those moments on the outside looking in, it is those points in our time we say, to what am I committed? What is the meaning in my life? What is my purpose? Those are very important, strategically important questions to ask our spiritual selves. Very, very often to ask those questions to ourselves. And, of course, every single one of us wants an immediate, precise, concise, and clear answer to those. But our task is always to have a kingdom view, to look at the bigger picture, if you will. And to do that, we look at the question, who is my family in Christ? Well, you and I can't begin to answer that question until we evaluate our foundation in Christ, which was at our moment of conversion, when you really, not just going through some class and not just uttering answers you thought the preacher wanted to hear you say, but really when you had that tug conversion moment in your life, and maybe you're still waiting for it to happen. And you say, God, I'm just an unworthy sinner. And try as I might, I can't seem to have the strength and the will to get greater and better in your eyes and your sight. So I confess that I need a Savior, Jesus Christ, as Lord and ruler of my life. For I am a sinner and I am in need of embracing the Holy Spirit through prayer. As I confess my sins and as I embrace that Spirit to nurture and help me grow, I believe in that power that my sins are forgiven. You are committed to this, are you not? If you call yourself a Christian, are you committed to this? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Carol. Do you believe you're committed to this? This isn't a participatory moment in the sermon. Do you believe in this? Yes. Praise God. Did you hear that, God, all the way to heaven? We're having church today. We're having revival today. This gal's about to retire. Can you feel it? Don't clap that I'm retiring. Don't do that. That's so mean. Okay. Well, here's the thing. It has to go even deeper than what you believe in your conversion. When we have communion, and I always say, you don't have to be a member of this church to come forward and have communion. We have an open table. We want everybody to come forward. Okay. But guess what? This theme, this opportunity is not just for Communion Sunday. We have got to do more than invite people to the table. To the table of God. We have got to lead and nurture them into their own specific call of ministry. because anybody can eat. But everybody's got to be called to serve and respond and witness. So, who is my family in Christ? Jesus says, feed my sheep. He told Peter that, but he's telling all his disciples that. Will you feed my sheep? We never get through with that one. We feed them physically. We feed them emotionally. We feed them spiritually. That is our call. And what a joy. Who is my family in Christ? Jesus replies, it's your neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? I mean, have you ever noticed how Jesus just has to spell out everything because we never get it? And I'm so thankful he does so we can get it. And yet, even when we think we've gotten it, we haven't gotten it. We're still working on getting it. So Jesus answers that by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. And what we understand is that those persons who are our neighbors are those persons without qualifications of deserving our time of day or our love or our grace. They are persons without qualifications. They are the beaten down. They are the people you don't like. They are the people that don't like you. It's everybody. Today's text gives us only part of the picture of Jesus' relationship with his mother. Only part. Only a glimpse. Perhaps this vivid image I've shared with you today is perhaps only surpassed by this image. Stretched out on the cross, flesh nailed, for 6 agonizing hours, with his body stretched so taut that his rib cage can hardly move to take in air, and with bare gasps of breath, the final thing he can do is entrust his mother to his beloved disciple John there at the base of the cross, because John didn't flee. John was there. Mary, his mother, was there. So because his head was the only thing that wasn't nailed down, it had probably lost the energy to even rise. It was probably hanging at this point. But he could use his eyes. We can always use our eyes to convey what we really mean. Let us remember that so we convey what we really should convey. And he looks with his eyes over to his mother and he says, behold your son. And maybe he could shift his head and maybe he couldn't, but he could shift his eyes down to John. Behold your mother, as he went over and looked at Mary again. Jesus never stopped loving his mother. One of the last things he did was to make sure she would be taken care of by the person he trusted the most, John, his disciple. There is still the pain, there is still the hurt, but it's always followed by love and trust and hope. Jesus' commitment was also to the larger issues, and Mary knew this. I know deep down in her heart, she knew that moment was coming when he would be on the cross, and she would see there till she saw her son take his last breath as she had seen him take his first. She knew he was going to take on the bigger issues. He didn't necessarily follow all the rules of the Hebrew religion or follow what the hierarchy wanted him to do. He said if an ox happens to fall into a ditch on the Sabbath, you do the humane thing. and you relieve that animal's suffering, you don't just leave it there because it's on the wrong day of the week, Sabbath. And he said, I know what the law has told you, an eye for an eye, a tooth for the tooth, but I'm telling you, turn the other cheek to something greater. Look how Jesus taught us in the way he dealt with his family. And the first thing he taught us is, you and I are rapidly becoming who we're going to be. I mean, there were his brothers, you know, there outside with his mother. They didn't believe in Jesus. They were just trying to help mom get him home. But they would believe in Jesus. We're challenged daily, especially in this day and age. Challenges happen all the time. They happen quickly. And the thing about it is, challenges and changes can cause confusion. Maybe we're not keeping up with it as fast as we should. So on the one hand, challenges cause us confusion and conflict. And on the other hand, they cause us to go deeper and grow. And find strength as we remember Jesus. I loved that phase. I wish it had stayed on eternally. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Because that is a question that needs to be engraved in your mind and branded on your heart always in everything you and I say and do and speak. What should we do, Jesus? We are rapidly becoming who we are going to be. There was a fella in South Florida. And he had a brother who passed away, and he was going to talk to the preacher about the arrangements and the funeral. And as he was talking to the preacher, he said, you know, I know you knew my brother, and he, you know, gambled and drank and caroused and, you know, racketeered and all that. And he said, so just please do the best you can with this message at the funeral. And if you could just, like, throw the word saint in there somewhere, somehow, I'll give you and this church $1 million. Well, the preacher's lips were kind of wetting by that point. Going, okay. So it came time for the service. And the brother was obviously very anxious, sitting in his chair there, just waiting to hear what the minister would say. The minister got up and said these words. Friends, I know you knew our dearly departed brother quite well. I make no bones about it. He was engaged in the most unrighteous behavior imaginable, but you may not have met his family yet, but I'm here to tell you that compared to his brother, the man was a saint. We are rapidly becoming who we're going to be. Second thing I think about is, in what direction are you going? Jesus' family headed to bring Jesus back home. Jesus knew the direction he was going. It was to his heavenly Father. He wasn't going back to the house. In faith, Jesus was taking on the Jewish religion, and those leaders were taking people in the wrong direction, and they were all following. And Jesus said, I know what you have read, but I say, look at Jesus. He's taking on the Torah, the law of God. He's taking on Sabbath. He's taking on the Pharisees. And the temple, well, he overturns the tables. And people think this man's out of control. We got to do something with him. He's being disrespectful. What they didn't understand, Jesus wasn't setting out to be a radical. He wasn't trying to rebel. He was showing people a more committed, deeper faith. This is what Jesus calls you and me to do, not be church Christians, but deeper, more faithful Christians. He just wasn't reacting to something you can see and calculate. Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. That shouldn't scare us, that should excite us. when things aren't going smoothly, you're down, you're upset, why is it when we're crabbing about something, we go to another negative person so they can join in the crabbing? Why is that? That is not going to give you a spiritual boost. When life is kind of spiraling down a little bit, then you need to go to the most spiritual Christian person you can find. Because they're going to share not only the Lord's truth, but they're going to share the grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they are going to love you through whatever. Years ago, I did a funeral at my very first church I served. It was a three-point charge. Had three churches. Junction City on the state line. A woman named Mrs. Melba Christie passed away. Her son was the late Dr. Francis Christie, professor of at Hendricks College of Religion. And he came to give the message for his mother. I was thrilled that he did that. And it came down to something that I remember that he actually said that day because it was such a vivid image. He said, you know, my mom practiced a practical faith. I mean, so if I was to take a stained glass window and I was to design it, it would have one thing on it, one thing only, and that would be a glass of water. Because my mother felt her purpose in life was to quench souls with the love of Jesus. And she just desperately wanted everyone to drink of the living water, of which they would never thirst again. Kept that in my mind all these years. Jesus calls us to be that committed and that loving and that giving to others. On the outside looking in, Mary knew her son. She knew him so well and she knew he was right. She wanted him home, but she knew he didn't belong there. He knew he was becoming what he was called to be. He knew he was headed in a certain direction, that would please his Father, God. May we not grow weary of practicing a deeper faith, understanding what we're committed to, and understanding the direction in which we're called to go. May we not grow weary of giving what God has called us to give, no matter what our financial status is, no matter what our energy or health level is. We can still always, always give. Don't be satisfied with a glimpse of the outside looking in. Draw nearer so you can see more clearly. This fabulous painting, you notice that there's no doorknob. It actually looks like there's a doorknob there, but that's just a white flower. There's no doorknob on the outside. The only way in the dwelling was from the inside. You had to be welcomed. You had to be invited. And Jesus will never force himself into your life. He will never interrupt your life or force himself. He must have the door of your heart willingly opened to receive him. So behold, I stand at the door and knock, Revelations 3:20. And Mark 3, behold, your mother. She knocked on the door that day. Jesus didn't let her in. He was too busy bringing in other souls into the family. He said, that's what I need to do, Mom. I need to make the family bigger. And that includes 2,000 years later, you and me, thanks be to God. You are the family of God. And there's room to invite more people in and to help them find their call to discipleship. May you and I honor that call as we dig deeper into our faith and remember the words of Jesus. Here are my mother, brothers, and sisters. You all are my family. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, what an honor and privilege it is to be not only invited, but to be acknowledged as part of your family. And Lord, we do know that there are people that want to come into the family and don't know the first thing about how to do that. Help us to remember that's our job. And there are other people that don't know they want to be a part of the family. It's our job, too, to tell them what a difference it makes to have Jesus Christ leading our family. Then we have to also understand that it's not just words that will lead them into the family, it's actions. So God, help us to always remember our witness to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing song, please. There are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any ways we receive members, or if you'd like to come forward and pray, I invite you to do that at this time.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Sing it, Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves.
So grateful for something called Sabbath that was instructed by God to be set aside for worship and prayer and rest, because we're so stubborn and, as the Bible says, stiff-necked, we might not have done it had we not been told to do it. But this is a day where we can come together as the family of God and pray for one another. Even though we don't know what the petitions for prayer are, it doesn't matter. It's just that we know each other and we love each other, and we're going to encourage and strengthen each other through prayers. So let's be sure and do that. It's not just things to say and things to mention in worship, but let's go home from here. It is Festival of the Christian Home. And our Christian home, you see, holds more than just our families that we live with 24/7. It holds us. that holds us and beyond these walls. So may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day.